All right. So I already kind of told you the title, you know, hearing the voice of God. Are you listening? It's actually, like I said, this will be my third part in this series. I think I'm going to do one more, probably the first week of August after the outdoor service. I'll probably wrap up this series. But the longer that I live my life for Jesus, I have come to understand that probably the most important thing for me to be able to do is to be able to hear the voice of God and to obey what he's saying. Why? Well, because I've learned that if I don't, I will often waste my time, I'll waste money and resources, I'll waste my physical energy, I'll waste my mental and emotional energy. I mean, basically, I will be wasting anything that I do if I'm ending up not following the direction and the voice of God. Because if it's not what God wants me to do, why am I bothering? I mean, look, for example, how many of you have ever been to the big store IKEA? You know that big furniture store? Well, let's say you went there and you got like one of those big boxes, you know, that, and what I hate about IKEA, nothing's ever together, right? So we once got this big box and it was for a desk. We brought it home. Let's say that you brought it home. You dumped it out, you looked at the picture on the box, and you just started building stuff. You know, you started putting stuff together. You're just looking at the picture box. You didn't check to see if you had all the parts. You didn't check to see, you know, if you had the right tools for the job. You didn't even look at the instructions. You just started putting everything together. Now, that's probably one of the dumbest things that you could ever do, especially if you've never built one before. Now, it's like your 20th desk. All right, you know, I'll give you that. But you know, there are many of us that are going through things in life that we've never been to before. We're at new places, new decisions, new directions. You know, this is a new relationship. This is a new child. This is a new job. This is a new place to live. And if you're not willing to go to God, ask him for help, listen, and then actually do what he's telling you to do, it's like trying to put this mess together at all. I hate to admit it, though. I mean, let's be transparent. I've done that before, where I've had one of those, like, kits, and, you know, you dump it, and you're putting it together, and you just, I don't know. I think it's just a guy thing. We just think we're smarter than stuff, and we're not. And so I'm putting stuff together, and it inevitably happens where I either break something or I put something together in the wrong order and it's like irreversible, where it's like it's now stuck together and you can't get it apart. And so now I have this big pile of expensive parts that are now worthless that I had to go back and buy a new box of parts and then open the instruction manual and to my wife, my mistake. Well, eventually admit sometimes that mistake to my wife. But you know what I'm learning, though? I'm learning that God is more impressed with weak people who ask lots of questions than strong people who just go charging forward without asking any. Isn't that true? You know, the interesting thing is, it isn't just God who's impressed with that. So am I. Nothing makes me more proud or impressed when one of my kids comes up to me and asks me a question before they make a decision. You know, not after, and they're really just telling me, Dad, I need your help to clean up the mess that I just made in my life. You know, it's the pastor. Nothing makes, I guess you'd say, grows my respect for people when they come up to me and say, Pastor, I need help. Or, Pastor, have you ever been to this? Or, Pastor, would you pray with me? Or, Pastor, what does the Word of God say about these situations? Before they make the decision, not after they make the decision. Because you know what happens when it's after they make the decision? We're talking about how we can pray that God will help clean up those areas of their life because they did not hear and follow his direction and it didn't work. But I guess that's why we're called the body of Christ, though, isn't it? You know? That's why God calls together to live as a family. I mean, we're called, like, you know, he is the vine, we are the branches. You know, we were made to live life together. We were made to make decisions together. Believe it or not, we were made to walk together, to make it to the finish line together. You know why? Lone people rarely make it through life without failing. People who are alone, they tend to fail a lot. But you know what I've learned? Groups of people, families, people that work together, they don't normally fail much. Why? Because they're helping each other. They're there supporting each other. If they see one getting out of line, they're like, buddy, where are you going that way? We're all going this way. We bring each other back together. Now, this morning I'm going to be jumping into a story about a very famous person in the Old Testament. If you want to start turning there, you can. I'm going to have the scriptures behind me, but we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 3 this morning. We're going to read a story about, really, he's considered one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament. And what I don't think is a coincidence, you'll see that the very first lesson that God teaches Samuel is to hear his voice. And not only just to hear his voice, but to obey his voice. Now, in this, let me give you just a little background. Right before this, Samuel was born to his mom. That kind of makes sense, doesn't it? But see, this was a special baby. She wasn't supposed to be able to have children. And she basically said, God, if you give me a son, I will give him right back to you. So God did. God did a miracle. She had a child, and then she immediately took that child and she gave it to Eli the priest and said, you know what? I've dedicated him for service for you. And she basically left him in the temple for the rest of his life. She gave him back to God. So we're going to look at, Samuel is lying down at night. It's time for bed. So are you with me? We're going to have it behind me. 1 Samuel chapter 3. I'm going to read you the whole story. It's only about 6 or 7 verses. Starting in verse 4. It says, then the Lord called Samuel. He said, here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But he said, I didn't call you. Lie down again. So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, Samuel. Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But he said, I didn't call you, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he arose, went to Eli, and said, here I am, for you called me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, go, lie down. And if he calls you, you say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went, lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant hears. Now I have to admit, a cool way to approach God, right? When he begins to talk to you, to literally just say, speak, hears. Now, I actually like the Message version. It says this way. It says, speak, I am your servant, ready to listen. Isn't that cool? I mean, Eli taught Samuel how to listen to God. If the men and women of God today, we better be able to hear the voice of God. If we don't, we are going to waste potential opportunities for God, who is going to want us to do specific things for him. What I want to do is I want to kind of look at probably a number of different ways that we should, I guess, approach God to make sure that we're able to hear from him clearly. So what should our attitude be when we approach God to help us hear clearly? Well, number one, we should approach God expectantly. We should approach God expectantly. We must actually anticipate that he is going to speak to us. Why? Throughout the Bible, throughout everywhere in Scripture, we are told and are promised that God will speak to us. But I can tell you this, if we doubt his ability to speak to us, we're going to have a hard time. We are. I already have touched on this scripture in this series, Jeremiah 33:3. It says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Remember, one of the best ways that we can be sure that we are living a life where we expect God to speak to us is to trust what the Bible says. I mean, it sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? But if you're not able to put 100% confidence in what the Word of God says, you will fail. You will not always be able to hear God clearly because you won't be sure. What was that, God? Does God really speak to me? It tends to happen during the times of trouble in our lives, isn't it? That's the time when doubt comes in. Well, I know God talks to pastor, but does he talk to me? Is he able to come through for me now? Now, see, expectancy is based on reliability. Let me say that again. Expectancy is based on reliability. What do I mean by that? If something is reliable, what is it? It's dependable, right? It's consistent. See, we may not see the consistency of speaking to us because we are not consistent in our life of serving God. I did a little sermon on you reap what you sow, right? You give what you get. If you're not consistent in your relationship with God, how can you expect to be consistently hearing from God? You know what I've also learned? Is that sometimes we learn to be expectant based on those we have around us, the people that we hang around with. If the people that we hang around with tend to be the ones that do hear from God, that do believe that God still speaks today, guess what? That rubs off on you. If you are around people who are negative, if you are around people who do not trust God, who do not believe that God is who he says he is, if they themselves do not even have the ability to hear from God, guess what? That is something that is going to come on you. You are what you are around. Matter of fact, the longer that you follow God and the more that he has proven himself to you, the greater your level of expectancy is going to be. And it should be that way, right? I mean, the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's impossible. When we approach God, we should do it with the same confidence level that Samuel did. I love it. Speak, for your servant hears. All right. Number two, we should approach God quietly. We should approach God quietly. Yes, I'm basically saying, and be quiet. I mean, if we are going to listen to God, we have to be quiet and let him actually do some talking. I mean, many of us, this is prayer time. We have our lists, we say our lists, and we leave. I mean, have you ever had a conversation with someone and they were just downloading to you? They told you all these things that are going on in their life. They asked all these kind of like, you know, open-ended questions like, well, what's going on here? And what could possibly God be doing in this situation? And you got to the point where you understood exactly what was going on in their life. You knew. And then they're like, all right, I got to go. And then they leave. And you're like, wait a minute. You just asked me all this stuff. You just told me all this information. And you hear from God as well, and you wanted to be able to speak words of truth, words of life. You wanted to point them to the scriptures. You wanted to give them what they would have needed in order to be able to, I guess, move on in their own life. They just weren't willing to just listen. How many times do we do that with God? How many of you have ever had conversations with God, and you're going about, well, God, this is happening. God, I can't believe this happened here. And God, what are you doing over here? And I mean, if you fix this over here, and all right, I'm done. And then you're off running somewhere, and God's like, well, don't you want answers to any of that stuff? I mean, are you just be quiet for a while and just sit there and allow me to pour to you what you need? I mean, I'm learning that we as Americans, and I doubt it's just an America problem. I bet you it's a worldwide problem. We have become so full inside our brains, inside our minds, that we just can't quiet our mind. We spend all week filling it with its TV, internet, you know, social media, books, music. I mean, not necessarily bad things, but it gets to a point of overload. I've talked about this before. I mean, I talk to so many people who try to fall asleep at night, and they say, "Pastor, I can't shut off my brain. I'm just trying, and I'm already processing what's going on tomorrow." And it's really hard for the Holy Spirit to be able to speak into your heart and mind when you can't allow your mind to rest. You know what that means sometimes? It means that you may need to simplify your life a little bit, which means getting rid of some good things just to give you some downtime, to give your brain and your heart just some time to be at rest. All right, let me keep going. Number three, we should approach God patiently. We should approach God patiently. You know what I've learned? God sometimes will not give us an instantaneous answer. How many of you like that? I didn't think I'd see a hand go up. Why? Well, sometimes it's because we're not ready for the answer. Sometimes God kind of thinks he's God. And he just kind of based on his own set of reasons. Sometimes, you know, it's... I've learned that sometimes learning things too soon ruins us, hurts us, and actually positions us for failure, where if we had just waited on God and allowed him to do things in his timing, things worked well. Matter of fact, we often kind of view God kind of like as a drive-through, don't we? Like a microwave, you know? We literally want to put in our order, punch a couple buttons, and within, you know, 30 seconds or less, we get what we've asked for. I love Samuel, though. I mean, Samuel basically says, "Speak, for your servant hears." Now, picture if he said this, but God, you do know it's past my bedtime. You know, I've kind of been waiting for a while, long day at the temple, you know, so do this really quick, God, because I know you're God and you can, like, boom. So come on, give it to me. I'm ready. We don't have the ability just to sit and wait on God anymore, do we? It's all about our schedule, our timing, our stuff. Me, 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 me. That's why I love scriptures like Isaiah 40, verse 31. Isaiah 40, verse 31. See, there's a promise in the scripture, but there's do in order to get it, though, right? But wait. Weary, they shall walk and not faint. See, we need more patience in our lives. You know what patience really is? It's the ability to swallow your pride and say, the person that I'm waiting on is worth it. See, when we begin to view God as someone who's worth waiting on, I think you'll be surprised on just how much you're going to be able to actually hear from the one that you're giving the honor and the worth to. All right, let's keep going. We should approach God confidently. We should approach God confidently. We must be confident that when we listen to God, we will get exactly what we need to hear. It may not always be what we want to hear, but God communicates to us exactly what is required for us to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. I mean, think of it this way. A good parents, you know what they're going to do? They're going to provide for their kids exactly what they need in order to be successful, to obey any rules have in their family. I mean, let's say for Philip, I decided to have a bunch of rules, but I didn't tell him any one of them. And then any time that he did something wrong against the rules that I never told him, I basically punished him. I thumped him. You're in trouble. parent do that? No, a good parent. A good parent, what they're going to do is they're going to give you everything up front. Matter of fact, good parents not only want successfully obedient children, but they want those children to be able to accomplish everything in life that God's called them to. Isn't God the same way? Look, if there are certain things in your life that you need in order to be successful, if you need certain direction, if you need certain wisdom, why wouldn't God want to give that to you? Why would he set you up for failure? So you can confidently believe that when I ask for help, God's going to provide it. I love this. There's a scripture, put it up there, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. This is a good one to memorize. It says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? That's the dad we serve. Amen. He loves us that much. Look, if God loved us to the point where he was willing to give his only son for us, we should have a level of confidence that when we need to hear direction and wisdom from God, that we can confidently go and say, God, I got to make a decision. It's either this or that. Or God, there's this job opportunity. Is it this or that? I mean, we should be able to go with confidence, believing that he will, in faith, give us what we need. All right, this next one, I think, may kind of, this is a tougher one, I'm not going to lie. Number five, we should approach God openly. We should approach God openly. Do we only hear what we want to hear? See, to listen openly means we're willing to hear God correct us just as much as we're willing to allow him to comfort us. That means that we're willing to allow God to convict us just as much as we're allowing him to support us. See, we may be looking for a word of comfort from God when honestly what he wants to do right then and there is to give you a word of correction. See, if we've come to God only for comfort, only for prosperity, only for good, only for things that make us feel good, then we will not always hear what God actually wants to say to us. Let me give you an example. Let's say that God speaks to you and says, I want you to stop working all this overtime. You're working too much overtime at work, and God is basically speaking to you, I want you to stop. I want you to stop doing that. There is other things that I want you to do at that time. I want you to do it. I want you to do something else. But you're not open to that. You're not open at all to that. Why? Because you like your job. Matter of fact, you are intentionally working overtime because you're looking for promotion. You're looking for advancement. And so you're going to receive that. You know, that can't be God because that's not what I want. Now, let's say then, because you weren't open to God, you kept working the overtime anyway. Let's say that your boss promotes you. You get a promotion now. And so in your brain, you're like, well, obviously it wasn't God. See, I got my promotion. This is exactly what I wanted. This is exactly what I was working for. So God said, no, stop doing that. Let me ask you, is it possible that God would not have wanted you to get that promotion? Is it possible that God would have be protecting you from something else that was coming down the road that you had no idea about? And so he was actually doing everything he could to avoid you. Maybe that promotion, yeah, it was more money, but it was even more time. It was more time that God was actually trying to get time from you. Do you see how often we can become confused? If we are not open to God and anything that he asks us to do, we could basically be saying, no, God, I'm not willing to do that. And then it happens anyway. And we're like, well, then see, obviously, it wasn't God's will at all. Because, I mean, I wanted a promotion. I got the promotion. So, woohoo! Look, we'll go back to 1 Samuel in 3. I'm going to go down to verse 15. It says, so this is after God basically spoke to Samuel, gave him a big word of the Lord. And so verse 15 says, so Samuel lay down until morning, and open the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son? He answered, here I am. He said, what is the word that the Lord spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all the things that he said to you. So at first, Samuel didn't like what he heard from God. Matter of fact, it was due to fear. He was afraid. God spoke some pretty strong things to Samuel as a little boy. Eli, interestingly, actually shows an openness to God, to his voice. He actually demands that Samuel tell him everything, no matter what. Fear, bitterness, pride, all those things can cause not to be open to hear from God what he actually may be trying to tell us. So how do you like that? Well, James chapter 1, verse 21. James 1, 21. This is good. You're getting a lot of Bible this morning. James 1, 21. It says, so get rid of everything that's dirty and sinful. Get rid of the evil that's all around us. Don't be too proud to accept the word that is planted in you. It can save you. What's God saying there? He's saying that by humbling ourselves and cleaning out what doesn't belong, we can receive the word that God wants to plant inside of us. Now, we may learn that I don't want that word, but God's saying, yeah, but it can save you. It's like giving your child the medicine that you don't want, but you know that's what you need. Open to what God says and not necessarily what we want to hear. All right, next one. We should approach God carefully. We should approach God carefully. And it's not a long one. This is an important point, though. Everything that we hear from God, that we believe we've heard from God, needs to be sifted through the written word of God. What do I mean by that? Before we accept anything in our lives, we should filter it through the Bible and eliminate anything that basically contradicts the Bible. I can tell you this, God does not contradict himself. God is not going to speak one thing to you personally completely in the Bible. It just doesn't work that way. God is not the author of confusion. He won't do it. I love this scripture in Hebrews. Hebrews 4, verse 12. Hebrews 4, verse 12. It says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. See, God gave us intentionally his written word of God to be a light to guide us and sometimes a sword to cut through anything that may be getting in the way of us obeying the voice of God. If you hear something inside your head that doesn't sound right, check it in the Bible immediately. Go to the word. If something doesn't sit, look, I don't care if this is the most spiritual person you've ever met in your life. If they give you a word, go to the Bible and check it. If it doesn't line up, throw it out. Now, does that mean, well, you're disrespecting that person? No, what I'm saying is that it is so important to make sure that we only follow the voice of God that we do anything and everything we can to make sure that it lines up. Have to. All right, just two more. Number seven, we should approach God submissively. Submissively. See, being open is one thing, to hear the voice of God, but you also got to obey the voice of God. Because sometimes when God speaks to our hearts, and we just didn't want to hear that. I mean, Samuel didn't like what he heard. I can guarantee you, once Samuel told that word to Eli, Eli wasn't really happy. Read the story. Keep going. See, Eli was not, it was hard. Because look, often when God talks to us, he's going to be telling us things that he wants us to do or things he wants us to change. And we are not people who like to change. We don't like those kind of things. Now, when you hear the voice of God and you get a word from God that tells you to do something, you have two choices, right? You have two. You can be like Jonah. right? We can be like Jonah. Jonah 1:1, right? The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it for the evil that has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, I don't have time to go into lengthy explanation about what happened to Jonah. Read the book of Jonah. It's a short book. Matter of fact, after the first two chapters, you will quickly see what happened to Jonah. There is a reason why it's called Jonah and the Whale. Okay? So, Jonah ran from God. He did not obey God. Or we could be like what we talked about a number of weeks ago. We could be like Jesus when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Right? That's Matthew 26:39. Matthew 26:39, it says, "And going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.'" Isn't that just, we're all trying to become like Jesus, right? I love the fact. I don't know why, it just makes me feel better. I love the fact that Jesus did not like what he had to do. I don't know why. It just makes me feel better. There are times that God tells me to do things, and I don't want to do them. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like it at all. Matter of fact, it kind of ticks me off that God would, "Look, God, I've already sacrificed here. I've done this over here. I've done that here." And I like the fact that we see a real man, Jesus, in the flesh, still God, but fully man, saying, "God, I don't want to do this. If there's any other way of doing it, come on." But then he ends it with, "Less, not yours." And then you know what? As soon as that was done, you know what happened in that story? He said, "All right, boys, here's my betrayer. Let's go." No more complaining, no more nothing. He just submitted himself and said, "All right, not my will, yours be done." See, we need to approach the voice of God as servants, willing to listen and obey. Last one, and this is my favorite one. We should approach God gratefully. We should approach God gratefully. See, when we come to the Father, we have to have an attitude of gratitude. And that's Philippians 4:6-7. It says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, tell God about everything. Ask and pray. Give thanks to him. Then God's peace will watch over your hearts and your minds because you belong to Christ Jesus. God's peace can never be completely understood." That's why I wanted that one last. I read that scripture, I don't know about you, it just makes me feel good. I mean, do you notice that when he's saying, when things bother you, and not just like bother you to the point where you're honestly starting to worry about what's going on, he's just saying, "All you got to do is tell me. That's all you got to do. Just tell me what's going on. And don't tell me your problems. Be thankful. Come to me with an attitude that is just of thankfulness, that's grateful." And what happens as soon as that happens? Peace that we cannot explain, we do not understand, floods our heart and mind. See, do it in a way that shows we have such huge trust in a God who's always been faithful to us, no matter what's happened in our lives. I love this statement. It says, "We can, instead of fearing what may happen, already begin praising him for what will happen." I want to say that again. We can, instead of fearing what may happen, already begin praising him for what will happen. The level of confidence we have is we just know that he's God. He's proven it time and time again. And that's why we have brothers and sisters around us who are encouraging and supporting us that say, "No, God's got this." All right, so let me wrap this up. What should our attitude be when we approach God to help us hear clearly? So number one, it was expectant, right? Based on the promises in God's word that he already proven himself faithful. It's to be quiet, not doing all the talking, but learning to be silent. Number three, it's patient, based on God's timing, not ours. God's timing, not ours. Confident, knowing that what our dad gives us is exactly what we need. Exactly what we need. And open, without filtering anything, right? Listening to everything. Careful, knowing that the spoken word of God will never contradict the written word of God. Submissive, not based on our will, but God's will. And finally, grateful, where we offer thanks based on a level of trust of what we know will happen. God is always faithful, always. So, look at your hearts and minds this morning. What attitude needs adjustment? What area of your life are you struggling with that's causing you not to be able to hear as clearly from God as you could? See, we all have areas of need. We all have areas of struggle. But my last, I guess you'd say, point of advice to you is to approach hearing from God with a simple prayer like Samuel gave us. May I suggest the next time that you spend some quiet time alone with God and you're patiently listening for Him, speak simple words. Say, "Speak, for your servant hears." And you know what? You might be surprised at what God's willing to tell you. Amen? Amen. Why don't you stand?